looking for an herb book with healing secrets that will empower you, you will want the Power Herbs book, filled with chapters on how to purge more toxins, best way to boost your immune system, how to make basic herbal tinctures, plus there's a symptom herb reference guide. Written by herbalist Wendy Wilson, the Power Herbs book offers hundreds of pages of essential information you won't want to be without, all for just $14.99. Available only in e-book formats for iPad, Kindle, and PDF. To order your copy today, visit thepowerherbs.com and download your Power Herbs e-book for just $14.99. Don't wait another minute to be empowered with natural solutions for everyday problems. Order the Power Herbs ebook now at thepowerherbs.com.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Millions of Americans are using prescribed medicines daily and putting up with the risk of side effects. If you feel trapped on lifelong drugs and want off of them, there is a way. Pharmaceutical products create a weakness and dependency. Eventually, weakness leads to failure. The solution is sources that are strengtheners, which lead to restoration. Contact Apothecary Herbs for their free product catalog and discover what professional strength herbal formulas can do for your heart, kidneys, pancreas, digestion, prostate, brain, and more. Call now 866-229-3663 or visit online thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order and empower yourself. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Almost said Earth Talk. I don't know. I've been doing some research on tonight's program, and it's all about Earth and economy and everything. Anyway, we'll get into that in a little bit. But welcome to the show. And Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show for you, and thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. We're going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, the health prerequisites, and there's a bunch of them. It's about your health care, of course it is, but it's more than just U.S. health care. It's about this global health care thing in the works, so we're going to talk about it. Also, we're going to be talking about how to get rid of irritable bowel syndrome. If you get like diarrhea and constipation, we're going to talk about that. And if we get more time, we'll have other things to chat about. And we do have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. And of course, you know, Father's Day is coming up this weekend, so I want to wish all the fathers out there a happy Father's Day. And do take advantage of the Father's Day special that the folks at Apothecary Herbs have going on. You can save 20% on orders of $45 or more through the 19th, so take advantage of that. Details are on the homepage, or if you just want to give them a call and ask about it. Well, before we do the quack report, I want to say a big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform, and I'm praying for America. I'm praying for leadership that we have. I'm praying for God's will. Hope you're minding the time and seeking the Lord's face and hitting the knees, because that's important to spend time in prayer. And today's the 15th, so I did bring my devotional, and today's devotional is from 2 Corinthians 4, Isaiah 6, and Psalms 130. It goes like this. When you approach me in stillness and in trust, you are strengthened. You need a buffer zone of silence around you in order to focus on things that are unseen. Since I am invisible, you must not let your senses dominate your thinking. So the curse of this age is overstimulation of the senses, which blocks out awareness of the unseen world. The tangible world still reflects my glory to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, but spending time alone with me is the best way to develop seeing eyes and hearing ears. So the goal is to be aware of unseen things, even as you live out your life in a visible world. Well, amen to that, right? I do believe if you seek the Lord's face, mind, time, spend time with him, it's not wasted time at all. Never, never, never wasted time. So get out there, dust off the Bible, you know, and seek the Lord's face, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All righty. Thanks, Frank. Let's see. What do we got here? Well, health insurance companies, they say, are pushing, God forbid, euthanasia in order to avoid paying disease treatment coverage costs to doctors and hospitals. So while involuntary euthanasia, the act of ending someone's life without their consent to spare them pain and suffering, is illegal in the United States, assisted suicide or voluntary euthanasia is legal in 6 U.S. states, Washington, Oregon, California, Vermont, New Mexico, and Montana. So doctors may prescribe legal doses of certain drugs to patients who have made the choice to die rather than endure further suffering or add to the suffering of their family. So euthanasia has always kind of been this debated hot topic subject, and it's become even more controversial since it became evident that health insurance companies are using it as a way to avoid properly caring for the terminally ill patients. Ooh. Mm. Well. All right, moving along the quack report. Here's a UCLA doctor in trouble under investigation, alleged allegations, we'll say that. Apparently, the district attorney's office and the homicide detectives of the LAPD have launched an investigation to determine whether an anesthesiologist by the name of Dr. Judith Brill may have given an 8-year-old boy by the name of Cole Hartman a dose of fentanyl high enough to be fatal to hasten his death in order to facilitate organ transplants, you know, to harvest his organs to put in somebody else. Now, Cole, the boy, was not brain dead. His organs could only be retrieved after his heart stopped beating on its own. So this type of donation is known as donation after cardiac death. No charges have been brought at this time against Dr. Brill, but Dr. Brill's lawyer, Mark Workman, has said the allegations are factually wrong and patently offensive. But that's not what Denise Bertone, the coroner's investigator who specializes in deaths of children, believes. Apparently, she said that she's fought for years to get this death investigated before it was ruled as an accidental death. Now they've got it under suspicion of homicide. So the death certificate was changed to fentanyl toxicity, and so they're investigating that. That's scary, isn't it? You know, you go to the hospital and stuff like that happens. Well, last but not least in the quack report, hey, anybody out there like honey? One of my favorite things. Yep, yep. I like to cut up bananas and drizzle a little honey on them, maybe put some peanuts on there, you know, sort of like my version of a peanut butter and banana sandwich, but without the bread. Anyway, new research has found that the natural sugar you get in honey, they call it triholose, if I pronounce it right, reduces the presence, get this, of arterial plaque by 30%. Yeah, the researchers at Washington University said that the nutrition in honey, it's a type of protein that causes immune cells to start removing the plaque deposits from arterial walls, and plaque can be damaging, as you know. So I also know Celtic sea salt does that too over time. So those two things, honey and some sun-dried salt, very good, and doesn't create hypertension. So get some honey going. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Oh, thank you, Frank. Okay, so we're going to talk about the health prerequisites. This is kind of like your global, this is the big enchilada in healthcare. You know, forget the socialized individual healthcare in countries. This is the whole enchilada. So in 2009, the WHO published what it was called the Global Health Prerequisites, and it was to highlight the milestones that the healthcare industry has accomplished, and they're also their future goals. And this international conference on health promotion, they met in Ottawa in 1986 to discuss this stuff, and they marked out this global plan for, quote, health for all. So they stated that the World Health Organization was organizing health, and they were doing it through organizations from all over the globe in response to a, quote, growing public health movement. So in this meeting that they had in Ottawa, they went over what was referred to as the, quote, World Health Organization targets, and they discussed actions for health. And so we're going to take a look at this health directive, if you will, and see what we can read, you know, in between the lines, have some discernment on the impact this may have. But first, we're going to look at the list, because the global conference referred to an opening list as a prerequisite for health, world health. And it reads like a globalist utopia wish list. Okay. However, the World Health Organization insists that in order to promote health, this list will be, quote, it will enable people to increase control over and improve their health. You know how that sounds? It sounds really great. Pie in the sky, great. They also state that health is not the objective, but it is a resource. Okay, so I don't know about you, but good health is my objective all the time, every day. I don't look at it as a resource, but anyway, this is what they're looking at it as. They go on to explain that individual health is really a social concept and a social resource. That's how they're looking at your particular health. Okay, you are a concept and a resource. Okay, so they reference those who take care of their own health as those in a, quote, health sector. And that health promotion goes beyond the individual. It goes beyond the lifestyle and the well-being. So health actually becomes this social concept if individuals turn to the power of healthcare over, if they turn their power of their healthcare over to this single powerful entity, like a government, for instance. So here is the list. This is the prerequisite for global health. They say we have to have peace, and we have to have shelter, we have to have education and food, income, a stable ecosystem, as well as a sustainable resource from the planet, and social justice and equality and equity for all. Okay. What do you think, Frank? Do you think that's achievable globally all at the same time? You know? Well, it's like the government wants to be your healthcare advocate, if you will. And the WHO and many countries on board with this, with their they're on board with this etiology of what health is, and they've declared that personal health and development needs to take a backseat to the social and economic healthcare mechanism. Okay, so here's a quote from the Global Health Conference that was in Ottawa. This is what they reported. Political, economic, social, cultural, environmental, behavioral, and biological factors can all favor health and health promotion, and actions are aimed at making these conditions harmonious through advocacy for health. And health promotion demands coordinated action by governments, health, and social economic sectors, end of quote. Aha. So the global healthcare system is looking to local authorities, the healthcare industry, and also the media to assist in this global conversion of healthcare. So the one world healthcare system will also use social group and social media to mediate the differing interests in society to migrate them to a social healthcare system. You know, one thinking on the matter. Okay, think brainwashing. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. All right, so let's look at this equal healthcare for a second. So according to their plan, the World Health Organization is creating what is being called, quote, equal healthcare for all, and it is identifying the differences in healthcare and reducing them. So the affluent and poor alike are being it's being promoted as having, they're going to have the same access to healthcare under their umbrella. So their plan is that individuals in society will all pay the same amount of money for the same standard of care. However, the poor do not have the same funds as the affluent, do they? So this can only be achieved, they claim, get this, through policy, laws, and taxes, forcing individuals to take responsibility for their health and everybody else's health. However, this action is called coordinated organized change. You like that term? So the plan mentions income and how social policies governing that will foster greater equality. So what they're also lumping into this better global healthcare are global codes to standardize everything, such as food and distribution, supplies, supplements, water, public services like utilities, environmental standards, as well as trade, imports, and exports. So this healthcare thing is huge. It impacts a lot more than just, you know, stick out your tongue and say, ah. Let's look at some of the obstacles they've identified. Because the conference seemed to have some concerns. They didn't want to leave any stones unturned. And they discuss what to do about stumbling blocks that would derail this plan and how to neutralize them. So if you read between the lines, you see the plan is promoted as good for the individual and for the greater good. It is also politically promoted as making choices easier for policymakers. And this is what, you know, tyrants do. They sell the idea that it's good for you, it's good, and it's for your own good, when it really isn't. Now, since the world is complex and interconnected now, more than ever in history, there is a ripple effect when there is this disharmony. So this is why there's this gigantic push for a socio-ecological healthcare plan. And it's being crafted as a global guiding principle for all facets of life. I'm not exaggerating. When this happens, healthcare becomes the center of a wheel, and all the spokes emerge from it outward. So everything gets affected by it. For instance, government, religion, commerce, employment, education, even Earth's resources are all going to be controlled by this hub. Here's a quote from the Global Health Conference in Ottawa. They said, the protection of the natural and built environments and the conservation of natural resources must be addressed in a health promotion strategy. Okay, so Earth's resources are going to be addressed under a global healthcare strategy. You know that old saying, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything? Well, it's being twisted to, if you don't have healthcare, you don't have anything. Because global healthcare is going to dictate living and working conditions. So every employer is going to have this wellness program. And notice this quote from the conference. They said this, healthcare works through concrete, effective community action, strategies, and implementation. Healthcare needs to embrace expanded mandates to support everyone. End of quote. Aha. Kind of sounds like a rosy state of affairs where everyone's cared for, and it's so fabulous. So why do these people pushing for global health care, how come they don't participate themselves in the planned care if it's so great? You know, why do they have individual policies, you know, kind of the throwback from an earlier time that they described as plans that no longer work? If everyone's attitude towards healthcare must change for the greater good, why do they opt out of it? We all know why. When you standardize healthcare so everyone gets the same care, it reduces it to substandard care to make it as affordable as possible for the masses. Well, yes, Frank's chiming in. He says it sounds like communism. Absolutely. Absolutely, Frank. It is. So the elite really don't want that kind of care for themselves. You can have that, but they don't want that. So this is what tyranny looks like. And let me ask you what you think of this statement. Chime in if you want on this statement, Frank. Here it is. It's from the Global Health Conference. It says, healthcare is created to be lived by people within a setting where they learn, work, play, and love. It is a setting created where you are caring for yourself as well as others, ensuring that society and society conditions and health are attained by all members. Oh, that sounds so nice, but you kind of get lost in it a little bit. But basically, no longer are you to work hard and worry about your own family. You have to make life choices that won't negatively affect everybody else in society. So the plan being hatched is that eventually this, quote, community voice is going to impact on everyone. It's even going to dictate your personal life, the community voice. So why is that? Well, because these powerful elites are changing how society looks at healthcare. Call it brainwashing. That's what I call it. Brainwashing the masses to think of it as a social investment, an ecological issue. You know, the planet's not going to survive unless we have one world global healthcare. Yeah, forced charity, more communism. Exactly, Frank. It is. So it is the most comprehensive way, okay, to strip people of individualism, their cultural identity, and freedom is through this big mechanism called global healthcare. So if this is successful, treatments such as aerial vaccinations will not only be embraced, but people will demand it, you know, if the brainwashing is successful. All right, so what this may mean, well, let's just suppose for a moment what this global healthcare policy would do to our current way of living. So let's just take a little peek. You would get rid of informed consent. That vanishes and goes away. Students that are pregnant may be forced to get abortions in order to remain in school. Also, privacy laws go away, as well as no vaccine exemptions. You can't have that. Also, financing and employment, that sector is going to be tied to healthcare compliance. And housing tied also to healthcare compliance, as well as childbearing determined by genetic healthcare testing. You know, if you want kids, you got to get approved first. And also mandated euthanasia for senior citizens. You're out the door at 74, kind of thing. Yeah. Well, I mean, look at their, they don't want to take care of them in the hospital. They want them euthanized. So, hey, you know, money answereth all things. Well, you know, it's supposedly programmed to succeed, though. But you know what? You and I are already programmed to succeed. We already got what we need to be successful and to be powerful. So there is a reason God said, woe unto the politicians and the lawyers of the world. They hold positions that often exploit the people for their own gain. So should members of the U.S. Congress have the same expensive and limited health care plans everybody else is forced to have? Absolutely. So if they did not exempt themselves, they wouldn't have made it into law. They wouldn't have voted on it. So health care is the linchpin to really control society. It's the linchpin to control all of society. So the question is, are you going to accept that control? Are you going to accept that? Now, fortunately for us, God has given us some valuable options with regard to staying healthy. So the medicinal herbs God has provided gives us all power, all the power we actually need to exercise good health. So learn all you can about these medicinal plants that protect you from diseases. For instance, fruits and vegetables. If you eat organic fruits and vegetables, that helps prevent conditions like cancer. I was talking to somebody today, didn't know that. You know, somebody, you know, an adult, probably 40 years old, he didn't know that. Meat and potatoes kind of guy. Oh, man. Okay, so fruits and vegetables, light on the meats, more fruits and vegetables and whole grains. The Mediterranean diet is really an excellent one to adopt. If you have to change your lifestyle, go there. So you have the power over what you eat right now. And medicinal plants are really packed full of these concentrated nutrients the body uses to balance and regenerate and heal itself. That's what it uses to do that. So if you want to learn more and how you can protect your health without, you know, giving up your freedom, you know, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs for a free product catalog and see what organ cleansing and immune boosting herbs can do for you and your family. They have some other things there too. They have a shingles be gone pack. They got natural stuff for pets and, you know, just endless things. So see what you think. They offer these professional strength organic formulas that you don't see in stores. Okay. Stuff in stores isn't really that potent. So call Apothecary Herbs now and get your free product catalog. The number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 704-885-0277. That's 704-885-0277. Or you can visit their web store, thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Puts the power back in your hands. Hey, and the people from Canada are just flocking to that place because Canada's got a lot of restrictions on stuff. They don't have what you have here in America, so you should be hitting the knees and thanking God tonight that you have these options. I do every day, because God gets the credit and the glory every day, all the time. Oh, don't forget, they have the Father's Day special, so if you're thinking about picking up a kit, get it at a discount, 20% off. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com.
Go green. Herb Talk Live Green. Now with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Feel the rhythm of the music getting stronger. Don't you fight it, do you gotta do that conga beat.
Music. Thank Frank. He knows I like it bouncy. I love it. Move your feet. Get going there. Get the blood pumping. Latin music will do that for you. Love that stuff. Okay, so we're going to talk about how you can get rid of irritable bowel syndrome if you got the constipation diarrhea thing going on. So if you're one of the million of people, there's millions of Americans that suffer from the irritable bowel syndrome, and you should know that you actually have the power to correct that. You do. So what is IBS? Well, it's an imbalance of the bowel system, which can cause a lot of pain, a lot of spasmodic bowel contractions, cramping, of course, a lot of chronic diarrhea. And then it flip-flops the other way and you get chronic constipation. And so it kind of goes back and forth, and it's very annoying. And this isn't about an occasional bowel disturbance. This is most of the time these people experience this. And it is about imbalance. So, and it's very chronic, the imbalance, and it's very costly if you're going to allopathic medicine, because they only manage your symptoms of imbalance. They don't actually fix the imbalance. They don't help the body cure that at all. Well, let's look at the IBS profile. So irritable bowel syndrome affects more women than men, and women experience more frequent IBS, especially during their menstruational cycle. So women who have irritable bowel syndrome are more likely to need a hysterectomy. So nearly 20% of the population experience irritable bowel syndrome, and there are three levels to this. There's mild, moderate, and severe. About 70% will experience the mild symptoms, 25% the moderate, and 5% get the very severe ones. So if you have irritable bowel syndrome, you may also suffer from non-GI symptoms like fibromyalgia, about 60% risk of getting fibromyalgia, which is, you know, pain, inflammation in the soft tissues. Also rheumatoid arthritis symptoms, as well as skin rashes, muscle spasms, and headaches. So the main contributing factor of this imbalance is really the nerve endings in the bowel are irritated, which influence bowel muscle, and that would give you your diarrhea. And then on the flip side of that, they're not stimulated, and then the bowel does not move. Now, most physicians do not believe stress is a contributing factor to this condition. However, I think it is. Well, let's look at the economic fallout from this. People suffering from irritable bowel syndrome affects about 6% of the middle school students and 14% of high school students. College students also have this. Actually dated somebody in college that had it, and it was all because he ate fried food all the time. But I digress. We're getting ahead of myself here. So a lot of these students, though, when they go to the doctor, they're getting prescriptions of antidepressants. And just imagine the cost of time off work, which parents encounter taking their kids back and forth to the doctor for this. School systems have noticed that irritable bowel syndrome is the most common medical reason over the common cold for kids to be absent. And the national average for workers to miss work every year due to an illness is about 5 days. So if you got irritable bowel syndrome, you're going to miss a week of work. So workers who suffer from IBS can also lose more time from work, as many as 20 days a year of work. So anywhere from a week to 20 days. So let's get to the nitty-gritty. So what exactly is causing this IBS? Is it too much water that's secreted in the bowel that produces the watery stool and the movements, lack of water absorption, or some other impact on the bowel movement making it difficult? Is it usually diarrhea? Is that usually maybe it's a bacteria or a viral infection or a parasite or E. coli or staph? What could it be? Is it food allergy, or is it sensitivity to food additives that could be contributing to this condition? Well, there are some foods, and some foods that can help with diarrhea and irritable bowel syndrome that can bulk up the stool are cooked carrots, rice, also bananas, and of course, chocolate. Many physicians recommend you have the BRAT diet, which is bananas, rice, applesauce, and toast, and starch fluids such as thick soups with rice and potatoes can actually help. And one example would be lentil soup, rice porridge, also coconut juice, and chicken noodle soup. And these will speed recovery and reduce the risk of dehydration. Now, if you're getting some chicken noodle soup, let's say you get the dehydrated kind and you add water to it, or you open a can of pre-made condensed soup, well, I always throw a big heap of garlic in that. Absolutely. I add my garlic if I'm going to have soup like that. And it's got some antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal, anti-yeast, anti-parasite action going on. So I chuck in that garlic big time. Okay, so let's look at some foods that can make IBS worse. According to Dr. Helen Castile, University of Arkansas Medical Science, she says foods to avoid are a lot of those clear liquids, the sugary fluids like soda, a Gatorade, Jell-O, and milk because of the lactose. Now, sugar will pass through, drawing from you more water and salt and cause a dehydration effect, causes more nausea and vomiting. Foods that produce a lot of gas, like beans, cabbage, onions, they're going to encourage some spasms of the colon, so stay away from that. She said coarse fruits and vegetables and whole grain cereals are too difficult to digest if you have moderate to severe IBS. And any beverage that has caffeine has to be avoided because it's going to further dehydrate you. Fried foods, convenience foods, fast foods, also all bad, she says, going to contribute to your bowel dysfunction. So let's just recap. Common culprits are going to be milk, coffee, artificial sweeteners, sugar, fruit juice, and gassy foods. Watch those. Also, here's a tip. Watch diet foods. Things like even a gum and hard candy have artificial sweeteners in them because they can work like a laxative. You may figure, well, I don't understand this. I avoided all that kind of food, but then you forgot about the piece of chewing gum a coworker shared with you. Had that sorbitol in it. Just a small dose of that sorbitol, that artificial sweetener, can give you bowel function about 40 to 75% of the time. Mm-mm-mm. Well, let's look at some folklore that seems to work. For persistent diarrhea or dysentery, it's often referred to as, if it's due to a virus, bacteria, or irritable bowel syndrome, there are a few herbs that work pretty quickly. According to Dr. Christina Cervesta of Odense University in Denmark, she says that use fenugreek. Actually, I would personally use fenugreek with maybe some slippery elm inner bark. That helps with diarrhea, stops it in a pretty skinny minute. If you don't have fenugreek, use the slippery elm anyway. Okay. Also, if you have spasms, some cramping, use a little liquid lobelia. It'll stop that. It works like an antispasmodic, and it'll stop the watery evacuations of the bowel. So if you use those three herbs, you can use them together if you want, probably take a teaspoon of each. Would be what I would do. And that would be probably three times more than you would normally use, but with IBS, you need to be a little bit more aggressive. What else? Well, lifestyle changes are going to be kind of necessary if you want to prevent this from coming back. So some digestive herbs that are helpful, we mentioned the fenugreek and lobelia for the spasmodic action, slippery elm for diarrhea, fennel seed stops gas and bloating, ginger stops the nausea, and peppermint also calms the stomach, any cramping there. I would use a teaspoon of these. You can use them together if you'd like. Room temperature liquids, if you want to put your doses in them, you just don't want to put them in anything hot. So room temperature or cold is fine. So what happens is it calms the nerves of the bowel. And you can, if you need a little bit more calming, use things like valerian root if your colon is still a little antsy. And if you want to remove parasites, you definitely want to get a really good quality bowel cleanser. And then what I do is I add black walnut to it, because one thing that parasites don't like is the sulfur in garlic and the iodine in black walnut. So you put those two together, and you can get a majority of the type of parasites that we tend to pick up. Some herbs are more indicative of certain types of parasites, but the sulfur and iodine pretty much get a majority. So you can check that out. Now, if you're looking for the bowel cleanse, the fenugreek, the garlic, the slippery elm, the peppermint, the ginger, and what else? Fennel. They're all there at thepowerherbs.com. It's under the digestive section. So check that out. Now, the bowel cleanse kit is under the Organ Cleanse area, so if you're looking for that. And now's a really good time to pick up some of those things because of the Father's Day special, 20% off orders of $45 or more. So don't delay. Get in there. Also, I think Tuesday I mentioned, real briefly, we brought back the reward points program because last fall we converted the website to the new store, which became mobile-friendly on, you know, mobile phones and tablets and so forth. But we lost the program for the reward points when we did that. Wasn't working with the new store. So we finally got a new program just this week. And it went live yesterday, so a few people have discovered it. We sent out a news blast, so if you're on our major list, you would have gotten a news blast about it. And if you had reward points when we had our old store, we've saved those and we moved them over, so you didn't lose your points. So that was I had to have that done. I told my developer, please make that so. So you do have that. They're tweaking it a little bit, the program here and there. So if you have any problems with it, do let us know, and we'll try our best to address those problems. So, you know, new stuff, new programs. Don't ask me anything about code. I'm the herbalist. I know herbs, but I don't know nothing about the code stuff. All right, we're going to talk about grass, and not the kind you smoke. No, I'm not talking about the cannabis. I'm talking about, you know, wheatgrass. A lot of baby boomers are into the wheatgrass, you know. Natural health experts state that we only live a fraction of our lives due to poor nutrition. And we think, you know, if you live to 75 or 80 years of age, that's pretty old. Actually, insurance companies are saying that's way too old. But in biblical times, you know, people were living hundreds of years. Look at Methuselah. What was it, 969 years in Genesis chapter 5? That's a long time. Can you imagine living that long? I don't know if I'd want to live that long, to be honest. Not in the times in which we live today. Anyway, so we got these issues, especially now, you know, with healthcare the way it is. Who wants to live to be 100 and 200 years old? Goodness. Well, let's look at some of the cultural cues. Our ancient ancestors did things a little differently. They took time to enjoy a meal. What they did is they reclined on the floor around a table. You can see all those ancient depictions, you know, painted on walls, in mosaics, where, you know, in ancient times they reclined on the floor to have a meal. Often there were only two meals that were served to our ancient ancestors. They ate at noon and at evening. So eating utensils were a little scarce. They usually used their hands, very common. Still is in lots of parts of the world. Now, barbecued ribs and fried chicken is definitely a hands-on food, right? Right? Okay, so whole grain breads were used for dipping into soups and stews and they didn't have double-decker sandwiches, but, you know, they had simple things. But the simple things had sound nutrition in them. So the whole grains in ancient times, they were the barley, the flax, the millet, the spelt, the wheat. So meats were typically lamb, deer, antelope, sometimes ox or gazelle, goats. They had fish and quail and, of course, chicken. A lot of times for milk, they used the curds from goats. They had eggs and they had olive oil. And these were pretty much the staple foods, along with a lot of spices and, of course, salt, mustard, garlic, coriander, cumin, and fennel. Now, I'm not into, like, eating bugs, but our ancestors ate bugs. They ate locusts and grasshoppers and crickets. And, you know, of course, they put a little honey on them. Maybe a lot of honey. So the beverage of choice back then was water or wine, sometimes beer, depending on what region you were in. Fruits and nuts were in abundance, so figs and almonds. And an ancient dish would have been like lamb stew with figs and a little wine. They may have had a salad with apples and that would have been served on, as a side dish. And for dessert, they would have served raisin or barley cakes with a little tea. Now, if lamb stew was not on the menu, sometimes they had fish and they cooked it with honeycomb and with baked onions. And for chicken, no Bojangles back then or KFC, they didn't fry that stuff. But they served chicken, they baked it, and they served it with spinach and sometimes prunes. So the ancients knew how to cook simply for nutrition, and they used combinations of spice and sweetness to make the meal more interesting and satisfying. So let's look at what they had for supplements, right? So our ancient ancestors, you know, had their versions of supplements to stay healthy. So in a way, they didn't know they were supplements at the time. So if you look at their way of life, they would use things like wheatgrass, which is the leafy blades without the gluten-rich wheat grain, so it doesn't have the wheat berry with it. Therefore, this is gluten-free. It's a gluten-free food. And they would use wheatgrass, and it goes all the way back to ancient Egypt, over 5,000 years ago. They said the Egyptians held wheatgrass as a sacred type of food because of the positive health benefits and vitality it offered. So, if we jump forward to the 1930s, wheatgrass was becoming kind of popular in the United States. Charles Schnabel, an agricultural chemist, helped make wheatgrass pretty popular along with some of the research studies. They were using chickens and feeding the chickens some wheatgrass, and it showed that it offered some extensive benefits to the chickens. And if you have chickens and you feed them wheatgrass, they produce high-quality eggs. So the chemist was able to get the attention of a couple of large corporations at the time, Quaker Oats and American Dairy. And they contributed a couple of $1 million to further his research into the benefits of wheatgrass. And later he sold a powdered wheatgrass supplement. And by the 1940s, doctors like Charles Kittering was promoting the healing properties of the chlorophyll that was in the wheatgrass and also other types of foods. Well, let's look at some of the studies they did on wheatgrass real quick. There have been a lot of studies, basically, but a lot of research found that the reason you get this benefit, this boost from the wheatgrass, is that it helps the blood and your immune system. So the vitality of this food, because it's loaded with chlorophyll and vitamins and minerals, because, you know, it's close to the ground and it's grown and it's organic. One study found that wheatgrass helped to control inflammation. So if you have irritable bowel syndrome and colitis, this is something you absolutely should try. Just 3 ounces of wheatgrass juice per day would relieve pain and diarrhea and rectal bleeding. So no clinical trials have been done on wheatgrass regarding cancer, although there are reports that wheatgrass helps shrink tumors. Other sources have stated that wheatgrass nutrition helps with the common cold, conditions of bronchitis, other infections, cystitis, gout, arthritis, and skin disorders, as well as constipation and anemia. Now, according to Dr. Chris Reynolds, he did this pilot study. He suggested that wheatgrass helps move toxicity from the blood and out of breast cancer tissue. So breast cancer patients that take chemotherapy would benefit from having some wheatgrass. Actually, if you didn't even have the chemo, you would benefit from the wheatgrass. So one paper is a case study of patients with skin disorders. And when they had the chlorophyll from the wheatgrass, it had some therapeutic effects. It stimulated the cells and the metabolism of the cells to repair much faster the damaged tissue. So wheatgrass and chlorophyll has a positive effect on skin conditions. They also found some research wheatgrass helped leukemia patients. It helped deter cell death, especially because in your blood you have cells. It's not just liquid, it's tissue in there too. And it just helped prevent cell death. Japanese and U.S. scientists have also studied the benefits of wheatgrass. Dr. Robinson, Dr. Arthur Robinson of Oregon Institute of Science and Medicine. He headed up this big wheatgrass project in 1978. And Linus Pauling Institute jumped in there too. Their findings were that wheatgrass reduces the likelihood and severity of cancerous lesions in mice by about 75%. So other studies have confirmed similar findings. University of Texas published some research. In addition to that, wheatgrass has this cleansing effect, getting rid of toxins and heavy metals from your vital organs in the human body, including your blood system. So wheatgrass has not only a healing benefit, but a cleansing benefit. See there? See how God did that? See how perfect that chemistry is? And, you know, science cannot duplicate that to save their necks. And who cares? We already got wheatgrass, right? So graze away. What nutrition can we expect in wheatgrass? Well, it has nearly the same amount of vitamin C as you find in citrus and more than you find in tomatoes. It also has lots of vitamin A, and just one serving of wheatgrass is like eating 350 pounds of carrots. And also, it is an excellent source of vitamin B. Oh, almost forgot. It contains vitamin E and minerals that you get in the wheatgrass, like calcium and iron, sodium, potassium, magnesium, selenium, zinc, and some other trace elements. Not to mention, you get 17 amino acids to help the body digest and absorb all this protein, because there's protein in there too. So the chlorophyll in the wheatgrass will give you protection from carcinogens, and the Japanese have done a lot of research on chlorophyll as a cancer deterrent, and because of the, it neutralizes toxins, and, you know, cancer feeds on waste material, so there you go. So how much wheatgrass do you suppose you need, and how often? Well, if you're using pure wheatgrass by itself, about a quarter teaspoon of the powder in about one to three times a day, depending if you need it more often than once a day. And if you're using a wheatgrass along with other grasses and some herbs, use 1 to 2 tablespoons a couple times a day. It would probably be sufficient. So some people go to a wheatgrass juice bar and they get a shot glass. They get wheatgrass shots. That's fine, too. You know, one or twice a day is fine. Whatever floats your boat, that's, you know, whatever, like, we, it tends to be bitter when you do it that way in the juice, freshly pressed. So just get ready. It's kind of a bitter taste. So if you want to throw it in something else, like vegetable juice or, I don't know, orange juice, you can kind of hide it a little bit. Now, if you want to check out the body food mix, the folks at Apothecary Herbs include the wheatgrass in their body food powdered mix. Has some other herbs in there. But it's going to cover your vitamins, your minerals, your amino acids, and your plant proteins. It's just pretty all-around basic nutrition the body is starving for. So check it out at thepowerherbs.com. And it's under the energy boosters area, because it does give you lots of energy. And what better time to check that out than the Father's Day special, and you'll save 20% on an order of $45 or more. And that's through the 19th, so don't delay. Details are on the homepage along with the coupon to cut and paste in your shopping cart. Or if you don't do the internet, just call and say, hey, I want the Father's Day discount, and you'll get it. The toll-free number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Or visit thepowerherbs.com. And if you want to take advantage of the reward point program, just register and then check out. And when you check out at your payments section, it'll give you the option to use your reward wallet and what's in there. And you can use your reward points on your order if you'd like. So reward points or coupons, one or the other. You can't use both. I'm sorry about that. I'm about out of time. Do sign up for the newsletters, too, if you're up there. They go out by email each week, and they'll empower you further. Happy Father's Day! The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.